Oh, my cat jumping on top of the cat. Thank you.
All right.
So I just want you to have a little look at this.
Ooh, what is that?
That is purple Parma Violet Gin with club soda.
Can we get that here? That sounds awesome.
I think you can now. It's I don't know about you, but when I was little, my mother used to have Violet's candies.
Yes, I love
That's
those.
Exactly what this tastes like.
Oh God, I'm getting some. I'm getting some tonight. So it's purple Parma
Violet
Gin.
Yeah.
Is it a name brand?
Mine is called the Dream Chaser.
Oh, okay.
And they also make cotton candy flavored gin, but
oh wow.
I thought I would go a little more grown up.
I like that. Well, yeah. I went with my maple bourbon Knob Creek with a little coat.
I gotta tell you what I'm getting tomorrow. I'll read it to you because it was a stunning type of bourbon, and I'm so impressed with myself for being able to get this. It's made by Keeper.
Yeah.
And it's bourbon distilled and aged in Florida by master distiller Edie Zurita using his 35 years of expertise and knowledge. Bourbon is aged 18 months in white American oak barrels, finished at a distillery near Oxford, England, by our award-winning master distillery, Jamie Baggett. In England and bourbon, it's stored for 3 months in a once-used bourbon cask to pick up a new level of char. And before bottling, we finish it with Cotswolds water and infuse with a smoke 100% British honey from British bees from their
home. Oh my God, that sounds amazing.
I can't wait.
Wow. And since it started here in Florida, can we get it here?
I don't know. It's K-E-E-P-R, Keeper.
Okay, Keeper. I'm going to check that out too.
I am super excited. I get it tomorrow, so I'm going to have it on the next show.
I like that. I'm getting boring because I have I put a little Coke in this. That's why it looks darker. The bourbon maple.
Does it go? Does it go?
It kind of goes. I think it would have been better with the regular bourbon, you know,
a little plainer.
But the Coke is sweet, so it's okay. It's working.
I almost went with the Jägermeister cold brew and a little Coke. And then I was
drink.
Yeah, that would be pretty good. I was thinking that too.
Why do I forget about Jaeger? I like a chilled Jaeger.
Yeah, I was talking about that with Tyler last time he was on. It's just kind of like a guilty pleasure type of thing, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it reminds you of your youth.
I have been hooked on Horace McDonald's music. So I just want to say
that. You're borderline obsessive. That's cool.
I'm borderline, almost, you know, as obsessed as with Janis Ian. I think it's kind of getting even there now.
Although Horace, I can tolerate Horace. I can tell you that much.
But yeah, she's of the level of Janis Ian obsession at this point. And
it's great that you can double your obsessions. You know, you can have two over once.
I have to diversify my obsessions.
So multi-talented.
Keep going, yeah.
<That's> pretty funny. So we're supposed to have Dan Renzi on.
Okay.
Just waiting for him. I've messaged him. I've sent the email. So hopefully he'll get with us, but he's not here yet. But he is in Eugene, Oregon right now. And you know, most people hear the name, and I think if they have any recollection, you know, of the 80s and 90s, they'll remember him from MTV. He was in Real World Miami.
Mm-hmm,
and so I feel like we're going to get maybe a little bit of nostalgia and a lot of information, because now he is a frontline worker. He's a nurse. So he's out
Amazing.
There. Yeah, he's out there in Oregon. He's doing, you know, getting shots in arms. That's his mission. And, you know, we share an obsession that not many people in the States embrace, and that is Eurovision song contest.
Oh.
Have you heard of it?
No.
Okay, I'm not sure about that. It's the European Union countries get together once a year and they have a song contest. And it is the most ridiculous, cheesy, gay, seizure-inducing night of music you will ever experience. And what it is like, so last night was part one of the semifinals. So out of 16 acts, only 10 go through.
Oh, okay.
Tomorrow night, another 10 go through. And then there's the ones that are automatically in the final. And those are the countries that donate money to this thing because it's huge. Oh. It's a huge event. Like it's held in arenas and
wow.
The outfits and the staging is just ridiculous. Ridiculous. And the music, sometimes it's sung in their language, sometimes it's sung in English. You never know what you're gonna get. But it's rarely embraced in the state. Oh, there's Dan. It's rarely embraced in the States. So the fact that Dan knew about this when he was visiting a couple of years ago, like 2018, he was here during Eurovision week and we got to watch it together here in my living room. So last night we were texting about it. He found a live stream of it. It's broadcasting from Rotterdam, Netherlands. So whoever act wins it, that's the country that hosts it the following year.
Oh, so, I see.
So yeah, we've got that in common. And I'm just going to put it out there right now. Malta was banging last night. So I feel like Malta might be the winner this year, but I don't know. Two nights to go, just saying. All right, so let's let Dan in. There he is.
Yeah. Okay, so what am I getting myself into right now?
Oh, Dan, we've just been gossiping about your past.
Hi, Dan.
Hi. Is this okay? So I'm driving. Do I need to pull over?
You could. It would be nice.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. Let me pull over in a little bit. Is this all right? So what is this that we're doing?
We're doing a podcast. We're on show 34.
Really?
Really.
Of what? Is this like Lesbians Are Us again?
You know, we've got a diverse catalog of topics. Like we do a little mixology. We've got a house mixologist. Right.
Otherwise known as Lesbians Who Drink.
Yeah, but you know, we class it up. We've got a mixologist.
We class it up. Classy Lesbians Who Drink. So when Ellen drinks.
Our mixologist is a hipster guy. So, yeah. You know, he's cool.
Yeah, he's like teaching us how to smoke our drinks, basically.
Got it.
And you know, then we've got musical guests. We've had musical guests on as well. So, and then we've had, you know, our friends.
And then there's people with talent and then your friends.
Yes, exactly. But I was just telling JD how we share a bit of a passion for Eurovision. She doesn't know what it is.
Oh, okay. It's so good. It is so good. It is so good. This really like, and in one hand, I'm a little bummed because I feel like this year, at least the first semifinals, everything was legitimate. Like there was no jokes, there was nothing bad. And I mean, even the stuff that it was a little shaky, I still had a backbone.
The song was good.
I mean, they still had it. It's like everyone has figured out that you don't have to win Eurovision. You just have to record a good song and put it on YouTube.
Right.
And you have an entire year of club appearances planned, you know? Yeah. And like, oh God, I just loved it. I mean, I've only seen the first semifinal. When is the second semifinals on?
Thursday, tomorrow.
Okay, tomorrow. Yeah. Well, I know what I'm doing tomorrow. Because, sure. I mean, like, and it's like, you know, sending the clips. I mean, the Eurovision movie was a hit. Kind of like a little bit of a sleeper hit in the US on Netflix. Yeah. But people here weren't really, no one has heard that the actual Eurovision is happening. Yeah. And there's been no publicity. It's on Peacock, the Peacock app.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to ask you, where do you see it? Where do you watch that here?
Peacock? You can watch it on, if you download Peacock on your phone or on your TV, you can watch it. But there's also some Swedish, the Swedish broadcaster is brought, I don't know how they're getting away with this, but they're broadcasting it for free everywhere. Yes.
I almost sent you that link. I was so worried that you weren't going to be able to watch it. I almost sent you the link.
Not only can you watch it, but it actually, the link, it cues to each song. So you just have to click on the little dots to get to, if there's a song you want to go back to, it'll bring you to that spot.
Like, although
you missed the little intro of the drone footage of them flying around the Lithuanian countryside or whatever. And I like that. I like that part too.
Yeah.
But I was sending links because my nieces, my brother's kids, they really like the Eurovision movie. And I was like, well, Eurovision's really on. And they were expecting Will Ferrell being ridiculous. Wow. And I'm like, oh, no, so much better than that. And I said it to him. And after watching it for a little while, they really got into it. And now, for whatever it's worth, there's some teenage girls in Kansas dancing around to The Roop on Spotify, the Lithuanian. The Roop, and it is great. I mean, their music, if you don't watch them, it's like, okay, we have to
Seizure inducing, like the staging, the lights, the flashing, it's nuts. But if you just
the song catchy. Is great. And it's like, you've got this middle-aged Lithuanian guy with a beer belly as a backup dancer, because clearly that's the only one
that's hysterical. That was hysterical.
And he's waving his arms, and then there's the elementary school teacher in the back next to him just smiling away.
Yep.
And it's like, this guy was like, hey, I need some backup dancers. Bob, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Are you busy? Can you come? And
learn these steps in the garage. It'll take two seconds.
I know you're working on your lawnmower, but could you come be my backup dancer?
And Russia, every year, I think they just get together in the conceptual meeting and go, what weird thing can we do to top the Russian babushka ladies from 2016?
But it's sort of like it's like when RuPaul does the roast, can be mean as long as it's good, as long as it's funny.
Yeah.
And with Eurovision, you can be ridiculous as long as it has a backbone to it.
Yeah. And the same thing with the
babushka ladies. I mean, the babushka ladies, okay, whatever. But as weird as some of these acts have been, it's still better than it is weird, and definitely. you have to have some credibility to the weirdness.
Yeah.
And this year, everyone, as weird as they were, even that Ukrainian song when she's doing Amazon warrior cries into the microphone.
Yeah, that was
It was rough, but still it was okay, we'll give it to you. So I just wish everyone would watch it, because I have so much to say about it.
Honestly, that's how I feel. It's crazy. I was texting with you. I was texting with Lucy Burton. They were watching it. So we were back and forth, like Nicolas Cage with angel arms on. What's going on here? What is this? This is, we were just going crazy over it. It's so funny.
So
good. So good. So good.
And that guy, and then there was the guy from North Macedonia with the disco ball shirt, which was iconic. Oh. And he didn't even make it.
So when is this on? When can I catch this?
Thursday night is the part two of the semifinals, and then Saturday is the finals.
Oh. Yes. But you can also, you can, it's all saved.
It's on YouTube. Yeah. You can catch YouTube. Yeah. Just Eurovision 2021 should bring up. So, Dan, I got to ask you this before we get into the amazing work that you have been doing lately. But I have to ask, this explosion of nostalgia with the MTV stuff, what the hell? Like podcasts and TV shows, and is it on Netflix? Like, they're showing old challenges and have people been trying to get in touch with you about this?
No, they originally asked if I wanted to do the reunion challenges. I said yes, and then they're talking about it, and then they're already planning the second cast, and they haven't, like, I don't know, I guess I don't know, like, maybe they saw a picture of me and they saw that I have gray hair now, and I'm like, you know, they're like, no, it's too much. Because the people that they're asking to do the second, I think the first challenge, they got people based on personality, and they got a lot of people who were really out of shape, and they just couldn't physically, they could not physically do some of the challenges. Like, there's a
chart. It's not 1985. But, I mean, come on.
Yeah. And so now the people that they're asking are like people who are more in shape and do yoga, and they're like 40-year-old yoga moms.
That must mean that Rachel Robinson will do one.
Probably. And, you know, it's just, so they didn't ask me, and I don't know, like, I don't know. I know that the first time they did it, some of the people, because the whole point of these reality shows is they stress you out in order to get you to react on camera and interact with each other in a confrontational manner. Right. Whenever you do a reality show, they don't tell you where it's filming sometimes. And so they put you on a plane and then you arrive. And I don't really know what the benefit of that is, other than it just sort of like makes it stressful.
Added stress, okay. Yeah.
And then when you're there, there's no contact with family. There's no contact with friends. You cannot get on the internet. You are allowed one phone call home a week to check in and make sure everything's okay. And it's all this isolation stuff that when you're in your 20s, it's fine. But if you're 45 and you're married and have kids, like, you need to be able to call home and say, yeah, see what's going on with your kid, with your 10-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a lot of people, and they even promised the cast members that they'd be able to call home. And then when they got there, they said, no, you can't. And so people on the show in the first season were volunteering themselves to be put in like the final challenge, like the elimination round. They're like, oh, I'll do it. I'll take one for the team, because they wanted to go home.
Right.
And so a lot of people that have been asked to do it, they're already like, you know, thanks for the flattery of wanting to be on your show, but like, I've got three kids. I'm not going to disappear for a month.
Yeah, it's a whole just different time. Like,
I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah. And so I don't know. Like, they haven't asked me. If they do ask me, I don't have any kids, but I still, like, you know, you all have to sleep in the same house in bunk beds.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Together in the middle of nowhere.
It's interesting, like, if they catered to people being the age that they are.
Yeah.
Shane's like, nice going out for early bird dinners.
Yeah. You know, it's like sometimes, you know, and like a lot of these competitions, like, I mean, you know, when you're in your late 40s or early 50s, you've got bad backs and bad knees, and you can be in great physical shape, but I still don't want to get tackled. Right. Like, I don't I've got like three herniated discs in my back that don't cause me any trouble. And I don't want them to.
Right. Like, yeah, you don't want to aggravate that.
Obviously. I don't want, you know, and getting paid whatever is like $50,000, whatever, to be on the show, getting paid $50,000 is not worth being in pain for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
You know, like,
And
other reality shows that have adults in them that are more popular than the challenge.
Yeah.
And they don't put people through this.
Yeah.
So
I don't think they're going to recapture that magic, you know, unless they change things up a little bit, you know.
And just, I don't know. I mean, but at the same time, the show is popular and people are enjoying it. And I also know people who are on the challenge who enjoyed being there.
Reality shows are like so much not reality in so many ways, like we were talking about with Debbie. Is he coming back?
It's like trying to get the last of the toothpaste out. I have to take a picture of how he's frozen, because that's priceless.
Well, you're going to take a picture? Okay.
Yeah, because we're stupid like this.
He's going to want to see how he froze.
Yeah.
Oh, he's gone. Oh,
there he goes. He'll come back. This is the stuff that I don't think people understand when they watch it.
What right.
These folks sign up for, you know? Like, I get this. I watch a reality show over here that's about really wealthy, snobby kids. Younger kids, but they're like in their 20s and 30s. And, you know, they've been on the show since they were in their 20s, and now they are in their 30s.
Right.
And so, you know, there's these two gay guys that just got married last year, and now they're trying to get to the States because they want to have a baby through a surrogate. And it's the storylines are a little bit better, but it's still that trumped up drama that you are so aware that is trumped up.
You could tell.
Yeah. And it kind of makes it cringy in a way, you know?
Right. Because so much of it really is scripted or contrived, I should say.
And that's the thing. I think that it would be more entertaining if they would just let things be.
Right.
You know, just let it be. Like, I want to know what's going to happen with these guys and if they're going to have a baby or not. Like, I don't really care about the boy toy in the next room that's trying to get with every girl that's in the house. And
Right.
They have good, you know, some of them have such good storylines that you just don't really want to see all the other stuff. Like, I want to see the stuff that's kind of like hitting closer to home and feels more real.
It just went away. I don't know what happened. Anyway, so I don't know what's going on. Like, it would be, I don't know what's going on with all the nostalgia stuff. I mean, a lot of it is because they just weren't able to film because of COVID. Right. So they're just digging out the reruns. And would you rather watch an old show or would you rather watch a new show that they had to put together poorly? You know, and they'd be
would much rather watch the oldies, man. Yeah. There's nothing better. So, honestly,
my nieces watched some of, I mean, they put on the, one of the challenges that I was on, they just relaunched on Netflix, and no, we don't get any royalties. So I don't care if you watch or not.
That's reality. Yeah, for you.
But it was fun watching it with my nieces, and you know, because they had never seen while that stuff was on, they were all babies, and watching this stuff, they got a kick out of it, seeing how skinny I was.
with the blonde, bottle blonde hair. Yeah.
Yeah. My Pamela Anderson blonde. I loved it. I'm the only person who liked it. I loved it. And I would do it again. No regrets.
It's weird. Like, I've been following a lot of different podcasts and stuff, and there's literally like three or four podcasts that are just dedicated to the old shows, like rehashing what happened to the old shows. And I'm like, what? Really? Like,
I've never heard a single podcast about the old shows, so you'll have to forward me those links.
Oh my god, yeah, no definitely. Knowledge. But yeah, it's so strange. But you know, like that's how I recognized your name before I knew you. I recognized you as Dan from Real World Miami, but then when I first met you, you were the editor for the South Florida Gay News.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've had a couple interesting jobs, and now you are a nurse and you're all over the place. Like, you were in the hot mess of New York City in the beginning of this.
Yeah. Wow.
In New Mexico, you're in all the worst possible spots they're sending you to. Like Superman, they're just like shutting.
No, I wouldn't go that. I mean, I wouldn't go that far. There's people. You know, the thing is with COVID, I was on a team where we would get sent, and I wasn't like the military would be deployed. Like, it was my choice whether I wanted to go or not.
Right.
And I signed up for assignments that were in what they refer to as hotspots. And the hotspots were when COVID cases would suddenly overflow hospitals.
Yeah.
And, you know, they would try to gauge where that was going to be happening. And I went to New York in March of 2020. That's when the Governor Cuomo was like on TV asking for help.
Yeah. Every day.
And, right. I went to Texas over Christmas. Cause that's when Texas was really bad. And then I went and did some time with the Navajo Nation, and I happened to be in New Mexico with them. And I bounced around a little bit, and like, now I'm in Oregon because the Oregon, their cases went up recently. And so they're trying to get people vaccinated. There's a lot of hesitancy getting people vaccinated. And fortunately, it's working very well, where we just sort of like descended upon Oregon with thousands and thousands of doses of the Pfizer vaccine. And we're like, look, everybody, this is the deal. And it just makes such a big difference if you can just get people vaccinated. like all of a sudden the hospitals, they just emptied out again, you know, right. And like, wow. If people would just calm down and realize that this is not an experimental vaccine. mRNA technology has been around for decades. And that's how they just sort of plugged in the actual mRNA from this coronavirus into the vehicle of the vaccine and just sort of sent it out. Yeah. There's no experimentation going on. And you hear all
the- You're not getting injected with the virus. I think
No, you're getting injected with, some, like just what it is it's instructions for how to build your own antibodies against the virus. And there's no actual virus in it. Like in the old days, they would have like weakened versions of the virus in these vaccines that would inspire your immune system to, you know, build defenses against it. But we don't really, you know, as a medical community, we don't need to do that anymore. Right. They understand, like once they, you know, once they learned how to sequence DNA back, I guess it was in the 90s, it became very easy to make these vaccines. And they can, what they do with this is they create the outer shell of what the vaccine would be covered in, because the vaccine, like, you know, when you get a virus, it sort of floats around in your bloodstream like a USB drive. Right. And all it is just a bunch of data that plugs into your cells and uses your proteins to create more copies of itself. And so what we do with these vaccines is we create the shell of what it looks like. So your immune system knows what to fight. And that's why when you get this virus, that's why when you get this vaccine, your body will launch into an immune response of like, you'll get a fever and you'll get like your arm will get swollen the vaccine sometimes, and you'll have body aches. And you have all these things that happen because that's the defenses your body is firing to fight the virus. Yes. And then it realizes that the vaccine is just a hollow shell and it's not doing anything. And then you're like, oh, okay, it's fine. Everyone calm down. And then really? Your immune system chills like out again.
If you hadn't made the video that you made when you got the vaccine and you were like, it's working. Like, I'm okay about this. It's working. I was like, so when I got it and I felt crappy the next day, I just said to myself, remember what Dan said.
Well, yeah. And people go, I had a video where the day after I got my second vaccine, I got like 101 fever and I got the chills and I was just vibrating. Like I was shaking. And people were like, you're scaring people away. Why did you post that? No. You're showing you're so sick. And on the contrary, I was like, I'm showing that it's just not a big deal. Like I had a fever and I couldn't go to work because they take your temperature at the front door.
Right.
And it doesn't matter if you had, it's just from the vaccine. You have a fever, you can't go to work. So like I went to Nordstrom and shopped for shoes and I was like sweating. And it's like, God, it is so hot at Nordstrom. But like, it was fine. And then the fever went away and I just kept shopping. Like it was not a big deal. Yeah. And so a lot of people, like when they saw that, they're like, okay, yeah, I'm going to get a fever. And this is not 16th century England,
right?
Where if you get a fever, it's, you know, from the plague and you're going to die. Exactly. In Western medicine, we have this fear of fevers, like something terrible is going to happen. And people take tons of drugs to fight the fever. It's like, just have a fever. It's fine. There's nothing dangerous about it. You're not going to brain damage from like having a fever.
Right. The only time I worry about it is like my mother's MS, she'll have an exacerbation if she has a fever.
Yeah.
So, you know, like that's my fear when she got her second shot. I was like, oh, she's going to be down. She's down
for 99% of the population of Earth does not have multiple sclerosis.
Exactly.
That's different. And and people will come in and they're like, oh, I had a fever. So I took Tylenol until I broke it. And I'm like, well, what does breaking a fever mean?
Right.
You're like, you're not breaking, like you're not fighting against anything. There's nothing dangerous about this fever. And so when people, I think now that enough people have had these side effects after the second vaccine.
You can just discuss it with someone. Like, did you have
My friend had sore knees and a headache and a fever, and then it was fine. So I'll probably have something like that, or maybe nothing at all. You know, it's like, everyone just needs, you know, like we freak out about everything. And then it's like, and every, you know, like everyone has so much hysteria worked up about it. And the more that we talk about it as if, oh, I had a fever. Oh, well, were you okay? Well, yeah, I mean, you're talking
half a day, like half a day. That was it. And then I was fine.
I did not suffer brain damage from having a fever.
Yeah.
You know, like this isn't, you know, I don't live in, you know, like I didn't get malaria, you know, yeah, where I'm delirious from my fever. It's like,
I was worried about, because all the information that I read and I see and that's on the news that I watch is about Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. And I've got the AstraZeneca. And I'm like, why isn't anybody talking about AstraZeneca?
Because it's in Europe. I mean, Europe, you have AstraZeneca. We, you know, Johnson & Johnson really screwed us up because it scared a lot of people away.
Big time.
And that, you know, and let me tell you something. Let me say something right now. Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. So Johnson & Johnson, they had a handful, it was like 6 or 8 cases of people who had suffered blood clots after getting their vaccines. So they pulled millions of vaccines out of circulation and they didn't know what to do. And here's why they didn't know what to do with this. The reason that Johnson & Johnson was a problem was not because it was the blood clots. The reason that Johnson & Johnson, vaccine had a problem was because these side effects were happening to women. And in Western medicine, all of the evidence-based practice that has been developed since germ theory began has been done based on research on men. Because in Western medicine, women were deemed too unstable to be research subjects because of their monthly hormone cycles.
Yeah.
This is such bullshit. It is such bullshit.
Yes. And so
because women menstruate, they were thought that they were not reliable subjects. So therefore, symptoms of heart attacks are always advertised by the symptoms that men have.
Right.
Symptoms of side effects of medications are always based on the side effects of men. Guess what? Men's bodies and women's bodies are different.
They
handle things differently. They have different pH. They have different, you know, I don't know, temperature. I mean, they have different hormones. So things are going to be slightly different. So the fact that Johnson & Johnson only had reliable data of side effects based on men, it's not Johnson & Johnson's fault, it's Western medicine. Right. So when things happen to women, we in Western medicine, supposedly the best healthcare system in the world, in the United States, everyone's like, well, we don't know, this happened to women.
Now, yeah.
We have to freak out and let's just stop everything.
Yeah.
And this is a call to the medical community of the United States and the world to start doing research on how these things affect women. And, you know, like, for instance, if a woman has a heart attack, her symptoms are going to be different. And this whole, like, oh, I have pain in my left arm and I have this, Yeah, that's what happens with men. But, like, so if women have a heart attack and they don't have those trademark symptoms, they're not diagnosed as quickly and they're more likely to die. So when you have this vaccine that's causing problems in women, it's like, well, why is it causing problems? Is it just luck that it's 8 women or is there something to it? And it's like, and so obviously I'm sorry, I'm on a roll. It pisses me off.
Yeah,
that is bad. I find that really offensive.
It's offensive.
Common knowledge that these testing is done on men. I mean, is that, well, I never heard that of you, Denise.
It happens on women more. It's just they have to double up the study and have women be a part of it now. And that's twice as expensive. So you do have, I don't know if Johnson & Johnson specifically tested this vaccine on any, I presume they did. But the problem is that so much of medicine is based on research and results, and science is always evolving based on as new results and research comes out. We only know what we know.
Right.
And
even when they've been studying it for a year.
Yes.
Right. And the same thing with the vaccines.
And so, like with the mRNA vaccines of, you know, Pfizer and Moderna, we have years of research on mRNA vaccines. And so with Johnson & Johnson, they were using, I think it was like an attenuated virus, or so I forget what the deal is, but it was slightly different. And that's I don't know. It's just, it was a little weird. They're using it again. If people are scared of getting it, I absolutely understand. Go get a different one.
Like you said, it is. It's ever evolving. Information is only as far back as, you know, that you can go with these studies. So, yeah. I mean, you guys are lucky. You pretty much walk in and get a Pfizer. You know.
Yes, we can. Yeah. You know, but I think what he just said is like mind-boggling, that in this day and age that they test most things on men only because women have menstrual cycles and different hormones. Yes. Like, wow, that sounds like Stone Age stuff. Or
I know. And the worst part about it is that it does. It makes you feel like so literally so offended. You know.
Like, yeah.
It's not like we wouldn't be first in line to, you know, to, we were just saying how offended we are, like that we, like, what I, you know, I would be first in line if they said, come try this, you know, and if somebody said, oh no, we can't, you're a woman, I'd be like,
well, and like I said, I mean, like, I don't know what the deal is now. I think with the vaccines, a lot of it, they asked for volunteers, and I don't think that they differentiated between genders.
Yeah,
the problem is in this specific vaccine, the problem is just the history of medical research in the United States.
Right.
And that it's how we treat men versus women. You know, it's, there's so many instances of when women are not given a priority in the medical establishment in Western medicine. And this is just one example. And I'm not at all saying that Johnson & Johnson specifically excluded women from anything.
No, it makes sense.
I have no knowledge.
Right. Yeah.
I have no knowledge. What I can tell you is that in Western medicine, everything is done based on the male body.
And, wow.
And so things are changing, but still, I just, you know, like, it's something that is going to take years, decades to you know, make up for.
Right.
But because we have so much research to be done, but this is a great example. It's like, oh, well, this happened to women. We don't know what to do. And it's like, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know, the on top of that, like, the next layer is the issue that, that Black and Brown people are having, you know, with their own concerns about getting vaccinated, you know, yeah. And that's, are you seeing things get better?
No. I mean, there is a very large distrust in the United States among particularly, you know, Black people who are particularly African American. In the United States, there are people alive who remember the days of African Americans being used as test subjects, as medical research,
right
or not.
Right.
And there's also people alive who have relatives who vividly remember getting poor medical care. I mean, these are fresh memories for these people.
Right.
Yeah. And it's not, these are not wives' tales from generations past. These are people who are still alive. Mm. And you can't reason with fear. You exactly. can
yeah.
reason with logic, but when someone is scared of something, there's no logic involved. It's a legitimate response, and you have to just work with what you've got. And we would get people who are particularly African-American who would come in tears because their job was saying you have to get vaccinated or you can't come to work.
Mm.
And they would be scared for their lives.
Yeah.
And they weren't making a scene. They weren't making a political statement. They were just scared. And you have to sit there with these people and be like, look, we're not going to give you the shot if you don't want it. And if you don't want it, just leave. You know, like, this is not the end of the world. You know, like, it's, you have to figure out what you're going to do with your job. But if one person doesn't have this vaccine because you're scared, just go. And maybe tomorrow you won't be, or maybe you will be. I mean, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But like,
that's
not me holding this needle to make this decision for you. And like,
So
we don't. And then there's also the fact that in impoverished communities, I worked at one in Kansas City where they literally plopped us in the middle of an all Black neighborhood. And it was, I've lived in Kansas City for over 30 years. And it was a neighborhood that I had never been to. And I went there and they're like, okay, we are open for business. Bring on the African Americans. Let's get everybody vaccinated. And we would do maybe like 20 a day. Like the place where, yeah, and like the place where I am now, we do 2,000.
Wow.
And we just sat there all day. And a lot of it is because these people, especially if they're older, they don't have transportation, them paying $20 for an Uber ride to come get their... And, you know, if they don't have transportation and, you know, they don't have their own car and there's no bus that's going to drop them off, whatever. So there's a lot of, there's a lot of factors involved. And all of them, I just, you know, people's experiences, this is a lesson that everyone has a different experience and they're all valid. And it's anyone who thinks that they can negate someone else's experience because that person, you're like, well, I know better. Yeah. You just need to shut up because you don't know. It's the only times I've ever found someone who's screaming that the coronavirus vaccine is a conspiracy against the government. It's all white people, you know, like
all the anti-vaxxers
are all white people, you know, like people who are in different minority communities, they have different reasons why they don't want it. And it's like each case is unique and you have to listen to people and understand where they're coming from. And I have never found anyone in those situations to be coming from a place of ignorance or stupidity or selfishness or whatever. Right. They've all got their issues. So all we can do is just stay open and keep defrosting these vaccines and just hope that more people will come. And they will.
I know we have like less than a minute, but I just want to say that I am super thrilled that you are doing what you're doing. And I'm super thrilled that you're fully vaccinated. I get my second one tomorrow.
Very exciting. I'm going to come to London.
Yeah, then you can come, right? Exactly.
You can come. We can all have tea. I have so many stories of working in the COVID unit and working respirators and stuff. That's what I was like, doesn't MTV, don't they think this is interesting? Like, they're casting everybody else. I'm like, I've got all these awesome stories and like, you don't want to put me on, like, what does it take to get cast on a reality show these days?
You just get back in touch with Rachel Maddow.
I'm going to have to, I'll just have to make sure that I dye all my gray hair so I look younger.
There you go.
And like, so when I'm, you know, when I'm talking about, you know, doing CPR on ventilated patients, that at least I do it with no gray hair. So I appeal to a younger audience.
Well, my friend, I am thrilled that we got to have this chat. I don't want this to snap off rudely.
Yeah,
But I do want to say that what you're doing is amazing. And I miss you. And I can't wait for you to come back so we can go have high tea.
I will see you soon, I hope.
It's definitely. Great seeing you.
Bye.
Thank you.
All I need is about $1 million and a camera crew.